From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak today. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message called The Unlawful Use of the Law, the fifth in a series of studies in the law of God. The text for this week's message is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully." As Dr. Cairns is showing in this message, men in their sin and ignorance have perverted the right use of the law. A right understanding of the purpose of the law is essential for a clear understanding of the gospel. In the first place, it's unlawful to use the law of God as an excuse for sin. The depraved heart of man rebels against any restriction of his desires and wishes. Unregenerate men hate the expression, "Thou shalt not." In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message called The Unlawful Use of the Law. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 51 and verse 10. Renew a right spirit within me. A backslider, if there be a spark of life left in him, will groan after restoration. In this renewal, the same exercise of grace is required as at our conversion. We needed repentance then. We certainly need it now. We wanted faith that we might come to Christ at first. Only the like grace can bring us to Jesus now. We wanted a word from the Most High, a word from the lip of the Living One to end our fears then. We shall soon discover, when under a sense of present sin, that we need it now. No man can be renewed without as real and true a manifestation of the Holy Spirit's energy as he felt at first, because the work is as great, and flesh and blood are as much in the way now as ever they were. Let thy personal weakness, O Christian, be an argument to make thee pray earnestly to thy God for help. Remember David, when he felt himself to be powerless, did not fold his arms or close his lips, but he hastened to the mercy seat with, "Renew a right spirit within me." Let not the doctrine that you, unaided, can do nothing make you sleep, but let it be a goad in your side to drive you with an awful earnestness to Israel's strong helper. Oh, that you may have grace to plead with God as though you pleaded for your very life, "Lord, renew a right spirit within me." He who sincerely prays to God to do this will prove his honesty by using the means through which God works. Be much in prayer. Live much upon the Word of God. Kill the lusts which have driven your Lord from you. Be careful to watch over the future uprisings of sin. The Lord has His own appointed ways. Sit by the wayside, and you will be ready when He passes by. Continue in all those blessed ordinances which will foster and nourish your dying graces, and, knowing that all power must proceed from Him, cease not to cry, "Renew a right spirit within me."
Joy of thy salvation.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me, it worked in me, all manner of lust. What does this mean, taking occasion? It's a very interesting expression. It means sin took the law as its point of departure. In military terms, this is sin using the commandment as a base for its operations. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's saying that such is the innate wickedness of our hearts. Such is the filthy perversity of our nature, that we come to what the law of God says, thou shalt not, and we find that our sinful nature stirs up lust for the very thing that God says thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And immediately we fasten not on the law itself, but on the thing prohibited. And the old sinful nature begins to think upon the desirability of the thing prohibited, and to lust after it, and long after it, and run after it. How wicked, how vile is the sinful heart of man, when he takes the good and the holy law of God and he uses God's law as a base of operation for sin. What an unholy, unlawful, wretched and wicked misuse of God's law. Back in the first chapter of Romans, you have a mighty catalogue of exceeding great sins. Such sins that three times Paul says God gave them up. I can't think of any more horrible words in Scripture. I can't think of anything more terrible to happen to a society or to an individual than to have God give them up. These are terrible sins. And after describing them and passing judgment upon them, in the final verse, verse 32, Paul says, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them. And he goes on to show how that they are inexcusable. I think that what Paul has in mind, these people heard the law of God, but they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. They simply took the very mention of the things that God abominated, and they longed for them, and they did them. Isn't that how sin entered the race? God said, thou shalt not. That's how the whole downward slide commenced. When God said, thou shalt not, sin took occasion. Sin used this as its point of departure. Sin turned God's word against himself, against holiness, and led our parents, first parents, into lust. And it's been happening ever since. It's an unlawful use of the law. Tonight, my friend, I want you to know this is no obscure theological point. You find this in everyday life. Just taking the law, the thou shalt not, and kicking over the traces and using it as a compulsion to sin. And I tell you tonight, if that's your condition, you thereby expose how deep, how terrible, how blasphemous is the natural state of your heart. The second unlawful use of the law is to use it as a way of salvation. That's what the Jews did. That's what the Judaizers did. And that undoubtedly, at least to some extent, is what the people were trying to do in Ephesus, whom Paul was opposing. Back in the book of Romans again, in chapter 10, verse 3, Paul spoke of the Jews, saying, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were using the law as a means of salvation. That's the error that the New Testament is constantly combating. Now, let me make it clear to you. It is unlawful to use the law to make it a ground of acceptance with God. That's unlawful. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. But let me tell you, that is not something that is contained only in the Roman Catholic Church or in some of the apostate Protestant churches. This is something that has made its way into so-called evangelical and even fundamental churches, and some branches even of Reformed churches, where we pay lip service to justification by free grace. But nonetheless, there is the idea of establishing merit with God by the works of law. The New Testament is adamantly against such a thing. It's unlawful to make the law and the works of the law the ground of acceptance with God. That would be to steal the glory of God. The Bible says it is God that justifieth. If salvation is by law keeping, then we justify ourselves. And to use the law against God who gave it is unlawful. It would also deny the grace of God. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you work for something, it's not grace that gives you your wages. You've worked for it, so therefore you've earned it. And the New Testament is against any theory that lets men think they can earn anything from God. That destroys the whole teaching of grace. God does not justify the godly. Now that is an apparently outrageous statement. It's a radical statement, but it's a biblical statement. God does not justify the godly. Romans 4 verse 5, God justifieth the ungodly. Could anything be plainer? That's grace. There would be no grace in justifying the godly. There'd be no grace in giving salvation to those who had earned it. The grace is giving salvation because Christ earned it to those who had merited the wrath of God. That's grace. Free grace. Glorious grace. But to make the law a means of salvation denies that grace of God. And it is unlawful, plainly, to use the law against grace. To make the law the way of salvation would destroy the gospel entirely. There'd be no gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news of the person and work of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the good news. It's the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anybody using the law as a means of salvation, anybody working his way to heaven, is saying, I don't need the gospel. This is an attack upon the atonement of Christ. It is a rejection of the blood shedding of the Savior. It is such a blasphemy as says that it doesn't matter that Christ was born, that Christ lived, that He died, that He rose again. I have the law and I can work my way to heaven. It's a denial of the gospel. And obviously, to use the law against the gospel is unlawful. It is unlawful for men to make God's law an excuse for sin. But it's equally unlawful for men to make God's law the way of salvation. Working your way into favor with God is a blasphemous repudiation of God's purpose in the law and in the gospel. And I want to make that clear. For salvation, and indeed after you've professed faith in Christ, you cannot work your way into a place of acceptance with God. You cannot work your way or merit your way or pay your way into a place where God accepts you, loves you because of what you have done. It's Christ and His merit that provide the sole ground of the acceptance of both sinner and saint in the presence and sight of God. But then there's a third unlawful use of the law that I think is in Paul's mind in our text, and that is to use the law as a condemnation of believers. That was plainly the mission of the Judaizers. The law is good if a man use it lawfully. These people were clearly working on believers in Christ. Now remember, this was in Ephesus. Remember the people to whom, or among whom, therefore, they were working. When you read the account in Acts of the establishment of the church in Ephesus, and then when you read the epistle to the Ephesians that Paul wrote, you'll discover this was a church that was deeply taught in the doctrine of grace. It was deeply taught in the truth of our union with Christ and of our acceptance on the sole merit of Christ, of our redemption through the blood of Christ. The Ephesian epistle by many is thought to be the pinnacle of all Paul's writings. He scales heights and plumbs depths in that epistle that do not even get an address in other epistles that he wrote. And yet among these people, here were vain, jangling perverters of the law of God. And what were they doing? They were trying to rob God's believing people of the freedom they had by grace, of the assurance they enjoyed by grace, and they were trying to bring them back under condemnation by the law. That's what they were doing, and that's a vicious thing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.